Well, greetings everybody up here in Radioland. Now, there's a lady here who's an expert rose grower, Carl Anderson's wife, Karen. She grows spectacular roses. Now, I don't know how she did these roses, because I've never seen them grow this way before. That's really different, Karen. Now, if I could get mine to do that, I don't know. But we had roses grow throughout the winter. We have a pink rose bush by the front door that just had roses just throughout the winter. It's been an amazing winter down in Portland. Of course, Portland is the South, so. Well, it is very exciting, and I could ask, why am I here? I know why you're here. I'm here because we're doing that lecture tonight, and it's going to be very exciting. I think that we've learned so much. Mr. Luker wanted me to just take a few minutes and talk about some of the things we've learned as a result of doing this Bible lecture experience. Because whenever you step out on faith, you've either had your faith grounded in reality or in something else. Now, what is the faith that we draw on in order to step out to do something like we're doing tonight? Well, as we heard in the opening prayer, we want God to inspire things. And because he has told us to go out and preach the truth, we try to figure out our best way to do that. And it's taken between the Seattle congregation and the two congregations to your south of you about $9,000 to put $6,000 worth of radio on. And I have a report here of the number of calls. But there's several ways to take a look at this experience in preaching the gospel. Number one, you can't have God bless anything that you're not doing. You ever thought of that? He can't bless something if you're not doing anything. So it's important that we be doing whatever we can to get the truth of God out to our country, in our environment, because people need it here as well as anywhere else. So simply to go out there and make things happen is important. Of course, to use your head is also very important. And when we take a look at the experience of the Church of God with Mr. Luker, who has been a very seasoned administrator and speaker, having done evangelism before, talking about what we ought to do here, it seemed like the wild card was how to get the people in the door. We know that we can give lectures. How to get them in the door and exactly what the lectures should target is something that we really needed inspiration for, and I think it just fell in place. When something is blessed, it works out. Have you ever noticed that? You can try to do stuff your way. I try to do stuff my way lots of times, and it just is such a struggle when it's just not the best idea. But when it's God's idea, and we go with the program, and because we've gotten his direction, things just work out. And so they seem to have really worked out by using radio. Never in the history of the Church of God, since I've been associated with it, has radio ever been used in a targeted way to bring people to a major event like this. We had a special challenge. How do you, in 60 seconds, interest people enough to come and hear us? We tend to think that it's just us. This is just little old us, and who'd want to come hear us? In some ways, you know, that can afflict all of us because we're so humble, right? No, actually, it's because we sometimes underestimate the power of the message we believe in and are responsible for giving. It's an interesting message. It's a vital one, and it resonates with folks out there because it is a message for every human being, and it's not crazy. But it is an art, brethren, to figure out how do we get into people's heads that are driving around and at home on the radio to get them here. So we had to decide what our topics were going to be and then track those topics or let the demand of what would be on the public's mind drive the topics and how we would address that on a radio commercial. You heard the real fast-talking salesman version, didn't you? I didn't like that one either, and so we redid that. And we learned a lot about the process, I would say. And we've also learned a lot about what works. I was talking with Gary Petty, who is our radio host for the Good News Radio for United Church of God. He's in Texas. He's a pastor. You read about him, I'm sure, in the United News. I was talking to him Thursday for quite some time. He said that he just heard this report that a top advertiser on radio and television commercials says that what they target as a real good cost per response for whatever they're trying to motivate people to do is $75 a response. Well, I have to tell you here, we had 48 people definitely say they're coming to Bellevue. Now, this isn't the number of calls. We about have to have the calls, but we would include those all. 48 individuals plus 32 are going to Tacoma. So right there is, fast, who's going to do that? Is that 80? I think. It's okay to compute a little on the Sabbath. Then we had those who listened to the whole message but didn't say that they were going to come, didn't, because you didn't have to. You could just press the beep. Press 1 if you're calling about the What's Next for Tomorrow lecture, What's Next for America lectures. And so 49 people beeped, right? Now, the people who asked for reservations on average had 2 people per group, per call. Sometimes as much as 4, right? We have Chip in, and his wife, Ruth Toprinko here, they're going to be helping out with video, and they take care of calls for Tomorrow Television, and they took care very nicely of all these calls. So we know every beep and every call and every person by the day and the hour if we wanted to. So we were able to learn a great deal. First day, I'm just off the top, we had a 5-day flight of radio commercials. By the way, how many of you heard them on the air? What did you think? It was okay? Oh, you're smart. Thank you. And anyway, first day, I think it was like 5 calls, 5, 6, something like that. Second day was, I think, 13. Next day was 19, next day was 28, and then 21? Was that it? Something like that. And those included beeps. But if we add up here the fact that those folks who beeped got all the information they need without making a commitment, and there were another 32 that are listed here who called but didn't say anything in terms of the number. They'll be there, but they didn't say how many, right? Something like that. Oh. Oh, so we have 32 undecided. That'll be at South Center. Okay, at SeaTac. Well, what I'm giving you here then are the total numbers. We had 49 beeps, which could be people who are coming, plus the 32 who couldn't decide where they were going to go, plus 32 who are definitely going to Tacoma, plus 48 that are coming to Bellevue. This is a lot of folks, a couple hundred almost. That would mean a cost per response of around $50. This national advertiser said $75. That's if folks could come in the door. Now, Mr. Petty was telling me, or Mr. Kubik, that our national radio per call to actually ask for a piece of literature is $50. Boy, if you could spend $50 and get them in the door and have them sit in front of you, that'd be a good thing to do, right? Now, there's also a real art to knowing how to say and what to say on the radio. Do you like those big announcer voices that say, the United Church of God, or whatever? Do you like voices like that anymore? Those are kind of, from what I've heard, they're kind of out. They're too produced and pushy. Us old schoolers might like that kind of thing. But young people today want something more natural. They don't like to be pushed. They like to be coaxed. So then they'll spend all their money or do whatever you want if you say it in kind of a whiny voice, I guess. But so we learn, and I tried to make sure there was color and that sort of thing in the voice when we did. But what we've learned through this whole experience is this is a viable way to preach the gospel. We have to consider that 450,000 people heard what? 3.6 times on Cairo and KVI. What did they hear? 3.5 times. These are the thinkers. The average income in those two stations for a household is $75,000. These are people who think, or at least think they think. So, what did we tell them? The house of Israel is America. Now, that's a little seed to have in there, isn't it? That's in their brains. If you could walk away with a thought, that would be a new one for lots and lots and lots of folks. They'd never heard of that at the radio station. Also, how does that relate to what Jesus says about the kingdom of God coming in the last days, or the house of Israel is America in the last days? What else did they hear? The last days. So we were able to communicate. You were able to communicate with a large, large audience here and get God's thoughts over to them. Now, we didn't have time to actually say United Church of God. Now, that's an idea. We could do that too. But what's the most important? Is it us, or is it the message anyway? So, brethren, I have to tell you, I am very pleased to be able to participate in this learning process. Have you been inspired by it? Have you been? Well, I surely have been, and you have been just a really exciting group of people to work with. You have outstanding folks that take initiative here. We have John Philbrook, who is constantly on top of it, whatever it is. And then Terry Wood, who I do not know. He's always in the woods, I'm told. Is Terry here? Anyway, he's in the woods. Terry did a great release, press release. And his professionalism is just terrific. All these people have busy lives, and all of you are so dedicated to the work. It's just great. Your prayers make such a huge difference. And when Mr. Luker and I asked God to inspire our thoughts and our words, your prayers really are there informing us, because when the right thoughts come, the inspired thoughts, we know them from the other ones, that is a gift from God for the benefit of His work. And so there's where you participate. This is really the work of the church. And there are a lot of eyes on this particular project that you initiated. Mario Sigley on the Council of Elders in Los Angeles said, when I just mentioned what you're doing, that's it. I feel so ashamed. We said in the council, we need something. We need to do something. We have $8,000 in Garden Grove sitting in the bank. I don't know what to do with it to preach the gospel. It's just so disappointing. This is it, he said. So exciting. So, and what's nice in a major metropolitan area is, like Tacoma and Seattle, you can have multiple churches share the cost and share in the process. Certainly Los Angeles and Garden Grove could do that, couldn't they? Little bigger market, but I have to say, every time I drive up the 405, I realize just how much bigger this city is than Portland. It is a big city. There is a scripture I wanted to talk about just in conclusion about this inspiring process that we're in preaching the truth. And that's found in Luke, one that we read over and over and over, but there's such a blessing involved. Why this is working is because God is a giver, and we want to be His instruments in giving, and the more we yield as a congregation, as a church, as individuals, to the giving, the better the results. It says in chapter 6, is it 30, 40? Where is it? In Luke chapter, I always have the hardest time having my eye fall right on this thing, where it says, when you're given, good will be given to you, back to you, good measure. Where is that? I am now seeking. Oh, there it is, 38. Verse 38, Luke 6, 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Boy, that's the way I feel. And running over will be into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. If you have a big heart, you have a desire, if all you can give is what you're giving, whatever it is, God will magnify that and it'll come back to you. It will really come back to you. I'm going to be talking about a subject that is a hard one to exactly wrestle with from a topical standpoint. What next for America? The challenge is to use that intriguing idea that America is in the Bible as the house of Israel. That is very intriguing to folks. Should be. But what difference does that make? That's what my stepmother always said to me. So what? Yeah, if that's true, and her relatives are evangelical relatives. Well, to me it was so vital, because you can understand history, and with it, you can understand what God's true religion is, because He gave it to Israel to keep. So it's a special challenge. And today, in this time period, I've made the conclusion that the next great event in the history of the world is not the Great Tribulation. That's not such good news. The great event in prophetic history that we've experienced for the last 100 years is the rise of the house of Israel, America being the house of Israel in the last days. That's what we've lived through. winning its wars, being blessed in every turn, even when it does the wrong things. God takes, he's just blessed it so that this country keeps on coming up because of his grace. Now, that's one of, got to be one of my themes. But the other great, the great event that is ahead for humanity is really the kingdom of God, which is Mr. Luker's message. What's next for America? America needs to understand it is the house of Israel. It has received the blessings of God. It is a nation under God, under his authority. But the challenge for them is to accept the gospel of the kingdom of God. They can't go back to the law of Moses with sacrifices. That isn't an option, is it? And so these two messages, I think, really fit hand in glove in a very special way. And this is a great formula, I think. What next? I mean, isn't that always topical? What next? Regardless of the topic, what next? And then, of course, the kingdom of God. That's always got to wind up getting top billing. So my challenge is to transition that. And so I created a video I think you'll enjoy. I cut it off. It was going to be 32 minutes. I'm only going to give them 22 minutes and ask them, where are the clues? Because the clues were in the first 22 minutes of where the house of Israel is. But I cut it off before telling them it's the Scythians and Celts who are the ancestors of the Americans. We'll tell them tonight, but the video doesn't do that. The video is a very, what's quite amazing to me. You sit down and you sometimes can make music. It just happens. Well, it didn't just happen. It took about 50 hours to put 22 minutes together. But there's a little hiccup, an anomaly, because my hard disk needed to be defragged before I played it out, and so there's just little hiccups here and there. Not to worry. But it's a beautiful, interesting piece to put all of the evidence on paper of what God did before he destroyed the house of Israel's political sovereignty, and they were dispersed. It's a stunning story to come down to in 22 minutes on a video. It's quite something. But if we can pack in some folks from a 60-second radio commercial, you ought to be able to do something in 22 minutes. So, brethren, we do certainly appreciate you, and I think this has been a marvelous opportunity to work with Mr. Luker, such a fine pastor and an inspiring guy to work with. He is forward-thinking, and I won't say too much more because I've already taken way too much time. Thank you.